In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This month of August, into which we now enter, is best known to our times as the month dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is a very recent title, though, for August. Born out of the tumultuous events of the 20th century and the devotion to the Immaculate Heart established by Our Lady of Fatima, it adds a new layer of richness to the significance this month has held in the Christian mind since ancient times. August has always begun in the Christian era with the feast of St. Peter in Chains. It commemorates the miraculous delivery of the Prince of the Apostles from prison at the hand of the cruel King Herod. It was in this way that divine providence wished to baptize, as it were, the Roman month of August. The eighth month was given its current name in honor of Caesar Augustus, heir of Julius Caesar, after whom July is named. It was Augustus who was hailed for having restored freedom to the Romans after years of civil war. The peace he established was that fullness of time into which our Savior would be born. Tradition also holds that it was on August 1st that the Apostle Peter, delivered from Herod's chains and now established in the imperial capital, celebrated Mass in Rome and established a church on the Seven Hills. Many years later, August 1st would commemorate the arrival of Peter's chains from the East. This precious relic would henceforth be venerated in a church in Rome along with certain other wondrous relics, the remains of eight holy martyrs, seven brothers and their mother, the holy Maccabees, who suffered for the true faith in the last age before Christ's coming, and who have their feast as well on August 1st. We see then that August has always been a time to pray for the sovereign pontiff and for all the hierarchy, and for all simple families who strive to live according to Catholic truth in a violent pagan world. If I may add just one more anniversary, a nearly forgotten one, August 1st also commemorates a very quiet event in American history, at least for those who pray for America's conversion. August 1st marks the start of a certain Jesuit's voyage to Canada and the holy adventures of another eight martyrs, the North American martyrs of the 17th century. On August 1st, 1642, Isaac Jogues, newly arrived on our hitherto unexplored continent, celebrated Holy Mass one last time before heading into the wilderness with his companions to evangelize the indigenous peoples of the interior of our continent, just as the Apostle Peter had celebrated Mass on that day centuries earlier to consecrate the city of Rome. Whatever the particulars of the ceremony of that time, what we know is that by the close of the ancient times, Mass was being celebrated in Rome in a manner almost identical to the way Isaac Jogues celebrated it in New France, and to the way we are celebrating it this morning in our beautiful church. This missal, or rule of celebrating Mass, spread throughout Europe by the Franciscans in the High Middle Ages, would be codified by Pope St. Pius V in 1570 and used by the young Jesuit order in order to accomplish their worldwide mission. As the Franciscans had spread the use of the Roman Missal throughout Christendom during the Middle Ages and rekindled the faith of Europe, so the sons of St. Ignatius were now bringing the faith to all the pagan nations by means of the same holy liturgy of the Eternal City. They were not content to leave the heathen in the sincerity of their false beliefs. They prayed for them. They showed them the example of virtue and of true worship, and they taught them the holy Catholic faith, outside of which there is no salvation. For all he knew, it would be the last time on this earth that Isaac Job would utter the words, "Intro ibo alo taride." Within a few days only, he was captured by the Iroquois and subject to brutal torture. His captors seemed to have a preternatural fascination with his consecrated hands. Thus it was that in mutilating them, they cut off or ate the fingers necessary for celebrating Mass. It was at this time that Isaac knew without a doubt that he would never again celebrate the Holy Roman Liturgy, for no priest had ever been granted the dispensation to celebrate Mass without a thumb and an index finger. He offered up this cruelest of torments in reparation for all the times he had shown the slightest negligence in the handling of our Savior's most sacred body. After 13 months of slavery, Isaac escaped his captors and eventually secured safe passage back to his native France. He arrived on Christmas Day and received the Holy Sacraments. News of his arrival spread throughout the country. The Superior General of the Jesuits and the Queen Regent herself petitioned the Pope to grant Isaac a dispensation in order to be able to celebrate Mass again. The successor of Peter readily granted the request. He exclaimed, "It would be shameful that a martyr of Christ be not allowed to drink the blood of Christ." Nearly 2 years after that Mass celebrated in the Canadian mission on the feast of St. Peter in Chains, Isaac Job again ascended the altar of God. Isaac and the other North American martyrs would live to witness a great number of conversions among the American Indians. Only from heaven would they witness their full fruits. Millions of souls brought to the faith by the holy throng of missionaries and teachers that followed. This is no crime for which we apologize. It is a miracle of grace which we celebrate. The North American martyrs had courage. Courage is not the same as fearlessness. Any normal, healthy human being feels fear. It is related to when Isaac Job was once asked if he did not fear to suffer a cruel death in the New World. He responded, "I'm afraid of getting stung by a wasp, but I believe God will give me the courage to do my duty." We all marvel at the courage of the martyrs, and we often ask ourselves whether we would ever have the courage to do what they did. We do well to ask ourselves the same question whenever we find ourselves speaking about the Pope and the bishops. Would I do better if I were a bishop, if I were the Pope himself? Would I courageously cast out all idols from the sanctuary and serve God alone? Or, like so many Hebrew kings of old, would I compromise first on God's worship, then on God's moral law, in order to please men? Many men have the natural virtue of courage. It is the virtue that enables us to pursue difficult goals when right reason, that is, prudence, tells us that is the end that must be attained, regardless of the obstacles. Even wicked men can have at least a limited amount of courage, for they have set their heart on some passing good, and they are sometimes willing to take great risks to satisfy their desires. How different is the supernatural virtue of courage found in the martyrs, the doctors, the holy bishops and confessors. True Christian courage always has as its lifeblood the greatest of all the supernatural virtues, the virtue of charity. Let us meditate for a moment on the prayer composed by one of the most illustrious sons of St. Ignatius, whose feast we recently celebrated, St. Francis Xavier. Countless missionaries have recited this prayer in the course of their labors. It reveals precisely what it means to have courage animated by charity. Charity has nothing at all to do with being nice. Charity is God's love within us. It is the virtue by which we will good, by which we will God in heaven for others. Let us hear this prayer of the Holy Jesuit. Eternal God, creator of all things, remember that the souls of unbelievers have been created by thee and formed to thine own image and likeness. Behold, O Lord, how to thy dishonor hell is being filled with these very souls. Remember that Jesus Christ, thy Son, for their salvation, suffered a most cruel death. Do not permit, O Lord, I beseech thee, that thy divine Son be any longer despised by unbelievers, but rather, being appeased by the prayers of thy saints and the Church, the most holy spouse of thy Son, deign to be mindful of thy mercy, and forgetting their idolatry and their unbelief, bring them to know him whom thou didst send, Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who is our health, life, and resurrection, through whom we have been redeemed and saved, to whom be all glory forever. Amen. Around the world, many good and faithful Catholics have been deprived for years of the Mass of all ages. Like Isaac Jogues, we do not know how long this captivity will last. Months more, years more. I do not dare to pretend that our sufferings are equal to those of the holy martyrs who first preached the faith on this continent. But I make the comparison in order to inspire our courage. May our Holy Father, Pope Leo, successor of St. Peter, break these chains asunder and lead the hierarchy and all the faithful in a fresh zeal for souls, so that all the idols of this dark age may be laid low and the true worship of the one true God be restored throughout the earth. Amen. St. Peter in chains, Holy Maccabees, all ye holy martyrs, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.